Bowie Fortune never backed down from a dare, especially not if the dare came from his mouthy kid sister, who might not be a kid any longer, sure, but the principle remained intact. Bowie liked to think of his refusal to back down, no matter how ridiculous the dare in question, as evidence not only of the high standards he maintained, but of a life well lived, the only kind of life worth living to his mind. And he'd tried several lives on for size already, so he could tell the difference. As he landed his favorite longer-range Cessna on what passed for a runway in the middle of spectacular Montana ranch land, he figured his life was looking just fine. No thanks to Piper and the challenge she'd issued him, but the Rocky Mountains down here in the lower 48 were giving him a gorgeous early June welcome, as if summer really was on its way. The sky was big and bright. The land was pretty. You could do worse, the Bitterroot Valley had seemed to tell him as he came in. He set the plane down sedately and bumped along the countrified runway that was an upgrade from the gravel he was used to in Alaska, and laughed while he did it, because he laughed a lot more than some people considered appropriate. He laughed more the less appropriate they found it, and because sedate was not really his thing. Mail order brides weren't really his thing either, but here he was. Bowie normally flew charter flights around the Alaskan bush for folks with a taste for the more thrilling things in life. It was a guaranteed adventure, and also something he would have done as soon as he got his pilot's license, without anyone paying him. That he got to call it his job never failed to make him feel like he was getting away with something. He never forgot for a minute that some poor slobs had to sit in airless offices and go to tedious meetings all day, a fate worse than death as far as he was concerned. But then, Bowie was from Lost Lake, out in interior Alaska, where it was an adventure to survive on any given Tuesday. Not to mention all 10.5 months of winter. He figured growing up off the grid the way he had was what had given him an appetite for taking risks, the way folks in big cities took their buses and subways. Compared to some of the things he'd done, most recently flying like a lunatic through spring storms with a pack of equally fearless outdoor photographers, for example, this mail-order bride deal sounded pretty tame. What was pretending to be married, pioneer style, for one measly little Alaskan summer with a virtual stranger, next to the thrill of landing on a glacier at 7,200 feet, or playing hide-and-seek in fog and rain with some of the tallest mountains in the world? Piper had dared him to take part in this publicity stunt slash contest being put on by a questionable collection of regional locals, mostly because, she'd maintained, he was too unruly and uncivilized to find himself a date, much less a wife. Even if the wife in question was fake and temporary, for the dubious purpose of a little prize money, assuming they won. "I date plenty," Bowie had told her with a grin, sitting at the comfortable family dinner table in his parents' house at the far end of the lake one blustery spring night. "How and when and who is a little too much information for your tender ears." There'd been a lot of snorting at that from the rest of the disreputable humans he claimed as his own, but Piper had only smiled at him in that particularly sisterly way she had, as if she pitied him. It was meant to get his back up, and it did. "You've gone full mountain man, and you don't even know it," she'd said sadly, with a shake of her head. "You've become the character you play on your charter trips." "I beg your pardon. I do not play any characters. I provide local color and commentary as requested." But he'd been grinning lazily while he said that because maybe he did play a role or two, if he felt like it. He wasn't an actor, though. He could still remember the various attempts at community theater at the mine. The mine was the center of the lake community. It was a whole village, except, unlike most villages, it was all under one roof at the head of Lost Lake, rather than spread out around the lake or along a road. There were no roads. The mine was the bar, the restaurant, all the shops, and a place to shelter from the inevitable weather, too. Watching folks he knew parade around in costume, orating in a great big room he couldn't escape even if he was actively trying to pretend it wasn't happening, was the stuff of nightmares.